in faith and don't stop marching until you see it fulfilled. Joshua, until my word is literally fulfilled, don't start looking at the walls and how impossible they are, but continually see and stay focused on the word that I put in your heart and keep marching in faith and obedience until I perform my word. Brothers and sisters, so many times we get discouraged and doubt and give up because sometime after the Lord has put in our heart, we start again looking at our impossibilities and looking at our circumstances and looking at the situation. The Lord will put a word in our heart and we'll march on it, walk on it in faith for a little while. But because it hasn't come to pass, we'll begin to take our eyes off of what God said. And one more time, start looking at our situation, start looking at the crisis. And we find ourselves again falling into doubt and the fear and unbelief. And the Lord says, you have got to possess a faith that when I put a word in your heart, you are so focused on that word. It doesn't matter how long I have you marching. It's not about 7 days. Some people say, I've been waiting a lot longer than 7 days. It's not about how long you have to wait. It's about the grace of God in your life that is sufficient to keep you focused, to keep you seeing. And the Lord says, when I put a word in your heart, you have to be able to see that word and stay focused on that word and keep marching in faith and obedience. And you will see the faithfulness of God to perform what He has spoken. Understand, God saw a day that Joshua was going to have supernatural vision. God saw a day that Joshua was going to have spiritual vision when he was going to have the ability to see the impossible in his heart. Now let's ask a question. How did the Lord prepare Joshua for that day? Well, go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Moses is dead and this is the Lord now telling Joshua he needs to rise up and he's putting Joshua in command. Look with me at verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, just like Psalm 1, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So ultimately, what the Lord is saying to Joshua is this, Joshua, to be a man of faith, to be a man that can see and believe for the impossible, you have to be a man whose life is thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. You can't truly possess the faith you are going to need to believe for the impossible unless you have a life that is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be times in our own walk with God that God's going to call us to a place where we have to believe for the impossible. We have to believe for the impossible in our life. We have to believe for the impossible in our ministry. We have to believe for the impossible in our walk with God. And the Lord prepares us for that day by calling us to a diligence in His Word. The Lord prepares us for that day by calling us and getting us to understand the importance of having a life that's rooted and grounded in the Word of God. If we're going to have that faith to believe in those times of impossibility. And brothers and sisters, when we love the Lord and we truly honor the desire to serve the Lord, then we will rise up and we will meet that call by the grace of God. But see, here's the problem. Many believers spend so much time in the natural and so little time in the supernatural. In other words, we consume so much of our time enjoying the things of the natural, which isn't wrong in itself, but we give so little time to the Word of God. And because we do this, so many believers talk about God being able to do the impossible. And with God, all things are possible. But in reality, there are only very few people God can set before a Jericho wall and expect them to believe for the impossible. They really don't have that kind of faith because they really have no life in the Word of God. Understand, it's the person that has thoroughly rooted their life in God's Word that the Lord speaks to their heart and tells them to believe for great things, to believe for the impossible. It's the person that has thoroughly rooted their life in God's Word that the Lord strongly speaks into their heart. Believe for the impossible in the life of your children. Believe for the impossible in the life of your church. Believe for the impossible in your own heart and life. Because I am a miracle-working God and all I need to do the impossible is faith. Now, I don't want to come off negative and critical right here, but I have to obey the Lord. And I have to tell you what the Lord's put on my heart. There are many Christians that would hear this and say, I do believe for the impossible in these areas. I do believe for God to work impossible miracles in my life and in my home and in my children, in my ministry. But in reality, they truly don't possess this great faith to believe for the impossible, because it's impossible to have this kind of powerful faith without having a powerful life in the Word of God. It is so sad, but many believers, we make the profession, with God all things are possible and God can do all things. But the Lord cannot set us before that Jericho wall and say, believe. And the reason is we have no life in the Word of God. We have so consumed our lives with the natural that we spend very little of our time in the supernatural, the power of the Word of God. And because of it, we truly don't possess that kind of faith. Let me show you the tragedy of so much of the American church. And please don't say in your heart, Pastor Tim's come with another gloomy message. Because good news is coming. But I got to be faithful to the Lord. And let me just show you the tragedy of the American church. I want you to go with me to the book of Amos, chapter 6. Amos is right after Hosea. You have Hosea, then you have Joel, then you have Amos. A few books right after the book of Daniel. Amos chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 1 and then go down to verse 4. Verse 1 says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Now just go with me to verse 4. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. That chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But listen to this. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So in other words, the Lord is reproving His people because they lost the burden of God. They lost His burden. They're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. And the reason why they lost the burden of God is because they got caught up in the spirit of the age. The spirit of comfort, the spirit of pleasure, and the spirit of keeping their flesh happy. That's why they lost the burden of God. And brothers and sisters, this is where much of the American church is today. We have such a shallow life in the Word of God because we consume our time with filling our lives with comfort, filling our lives with pleasure, trying to make our flesh happy, and we have so little time for the Word of God. This is the tragedy of the American church. We have got caught up in the spirit of the age, and our lives are so focused on being comfortable and pleasures. And we have so focused our lives on that we lost the burden of the heart of God. Because you cannot have the burden of the heart of God without having a life rooted in the Word of God. God says to Jeremiah, listen, this is what He says. He says, if they be my prophet and the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord. You cannot have the burden of God and have that burden to pray the things that are on God's heart without a life rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And that's where we are at today. But here's the good news. And this is what the Lord put on my heart. Here's the good news. In this hour of comfort and pleasure, the Lord has a Daniel company. Right here in Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, the Lord has a Daniel company. A people that truly love Him and His Word above everything else. I want you to remember the story of Daniel. Now, I want you to remember the story. This is a very powerful point here. Daniel was taken into Babylonian captivity. And right away, the Babylonian culture sought to corrupt Daniel. Right away, the devil, hear me, the devil, started offering Daniel the best of the king's table. The king's meat. The king's wine. And what the enemy was trying to do is steal Daniel's focus off of his faithfulness to God and the convictions God has put on his heart, and begin to start focusing on keeping his flesh comfortable and happy. That's what the enemy was doing here. The king of Babylon said, Daniel, I'm going to set before you the best of my wine, the best of my meat. And what that Babylonian culture is trying to do is steal his focus off of God and the man of God that he was. But the good news is Daniel refused. Daniel resisted. Daniel says, I'm not going to be corrupted by that Babylonian culture of pleasure and comfort. I'm not going to be corrupted by that. The Lord is my delight. Prayer is my delight. Seeking the face of God is my delight. That is my delight. And he kept that. And brothers and sisters, because he kept that, years later when God wanted to do a miracle, years later when the Lord wanted to do something impossible, that is bring his people out of Babylonian captivity, the Lord had an intercessor. The Lord had a prayer warrior. The Lord had a man that he could feel with the burden of his heart, and that man would go down in faith and prayer, and he would move kingdoms because he refused that culture, resisted that culture. Call of God is on my life. There's where I stand, and there's where I will die. I want to show you this. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9. Are you saying, Pastor Tim, it's wrong to enjoy things? I'm not saying that at all. I enjoy things in this life. But when it steals your affection from God, it's idolatry. It becomes an idol. And we can come in here and sing, I will serve no foreign gods. But God says, no, you have idols in your life. Because it has stolen your affection and your devotion. But the good news is God does have a Daniel company. A remnant in the body of Christ that refuses to bow to Baal. And says, God alone has the throne of my heart. Now I want to show you this with Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 through 4. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. That's important. The number of the years were of the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So this is what's going on. It's time for the Lord to do a miracle. It's time for him to do the impossible, and that is to bring his people out of captivity. And how did he do it? He did it through a man of God that was given to the word of God. Daniel said, I understood by the books. In other words, there was a day Daniel was reading the scriptures. He was reading the writings of Jeremiah. And the Lord breathed life into that word. And there was such life into that word as he was reading the scriptures that it began to get a hold of his heart. And he began to feel the burden of the heart of the Lord. And he began to go down in fasting and prayer, praying for the things that was on God's heart. That's an intercessor. An intercessor is just one who walks with God in his word. And when God wants to do something, he breathes life into a scripture. And that scripture is more real in your heart than anything you can see. And you begin to come under the burden of the word of God. And as you begin to pray according to the mind of God and revealed in the word of God, God begins to move kingdoms. But you can't have that kind of power in your life and ministry unless this is first place in your life. Yes, America is a land consumed with comfort and pleasures. But in the body of Christ, the Lord has a remnant like Daniel that refuses to be sucked into it. Their delight is thoroughly in God and his word. And when the Lord wants to perform a miracle, he has a people he can say to, believe for the impossible and watch me perform the thoughts and the intents of my heart. I want to make a comparison here. In Amos, the Lord's people got caught up in comfort and pleasure of the age, and their focus was on keeping their flesh happy. And because of it, they were no longer able to feel the burden of God's heart. Whereas Daniel was a man that refused to be corrupted by the age of comfort and pleasure. And he lived a life of prayer and seeking God in his word. And because of it, he knew the burden of God's heart. And when the Lord needed to do a miracle, he had a man that could pray and move kingdoms. That was Daniel. Amen. You want to know why the devil fights you so hard? Because he's terrified. He knows a man and a woman that walks with God and walks in the word of God and will refuse to be corrupted by that society out there. The power they possess when God wants to do something. I believe with all my heart God is going to send revival to this nation. But it's going to be because of a people that walk with God in His Word, and they hear what God is saying. And that Word is so alive, they begin to pray. And when they begin to pray, God begins to move according to the thoughts that are on His heart. Now, I just feel in my heart from the Lord, I want to end with this, just to really encourage someone today. You are really in a trial of your faith, and the Lord wants to encourage you today. Understand, when you truly love the Lord and His Word, there are going to be times He is going to try His Word in your heart and in your life. And I believe that's what some of you are going through. Remember Joseph. Just like Joshua, God put a word in Joseph's heart. He told Joseph, one day you're going to be a man of great authority, and you're going to stand before kings, and I'm going to be honored, and I'm going to be glorified through your life. That was the word He put in Joseph's heart through those dreams. But then what happened? The very opposite happened. Next, Joseph finds himself as a slave. He finds himself in Potiphar's house. I mean, it seemed like he went into the trial of his life. So here's the question. Why? Well, Psalm 105 tells us why. Don't turn there. Let me just read it. It says, He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that His word came. It says, the word of the Lord tried Joseph. In other words, God put a word in Joseph's heart. And then when in Egypt, Joseph's greatest trial became the word of God. That was his greatest trial in Egypt. Will God's word come through? Will I stand in faith and make it to the end believing God's word? In spite of everything that I see and everything that's happening to me, is God's word a greater power and authority than when all the world crumbles around me? Is His word the greatest authority? That was the trial of Joseph's time in Egypt. That word God put in his heart. But you know, he stood with God. By the grace of God, I know it wasn't easy. I know it had difficulties, but he stood and he believed. And he kept his walk of integrity. See, when you start believing and slipping, one of the first things that's going to go, if we really don't get a hold of God and ask Him to breathe life back into our faith, we're going to start slipping in our integrity. But Joseph said, no, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand for God. God will be faithful to His word. And he refused to give up his life of integrity. And he walked with God. And what happened? What happened when the Lord finally brought him out of his trial, brought him out of the dungeon of Egypt? What happened in Joseph's life? What happened is he came out of that trial with such a greater faith in God and in His word. He came out of that trial with such an unshakable faith in His word. It doesn't matter what my situations and circumstances says, God will be true and everything else will be a lie. And I want to encourage somebody this morning. I feel like you're going through the trial of your faith, and it's simply because God is trying and proving His word in your life. And if you'll just keep holding on to God and walking with God and leaning upon the grace of God, God's going to bring you out, and you're going to come out with such a greater faith in the Word of God and such a greater faith in God's ability to perform that which He has promised and spoken into your life. The Lord wants to encourage you. Yes, I put a word in your heart, and it seems like it's long and incoming, and everything else is saying the very opposite of what I've spoken to you. But if you'll just maintain your faith and hold on, you're going to find out there's no greater power and authority than the Word of God. And you're going to come out of this with such an unshakable faith. And I'm going to use you to stand before kings and powers and nations and to speak and to pray. And you're going to see heaven and hell move by the power and the authority of God's word in your life. Because that word has been proved and that word has been tried in your life. Stand with me this morning.